affettò.
Wider than snow.
Amen. Wow, that was fun. Well, it's Palm Sunday, and as Jesus was walking into Jerusalem, it was a celebration, yet he knew what was coming, that the cross was coming. And Jesus, and let me talk to somebody personally to remind you, Jesus walked into that city and went on that cross to do one thing, to show his love for you, that in this moment right now, in a fresh and new way, and maybe for the first time, you could receive his love, that you could be forgiven of your sins and have a brand new life. And for some of us who know the story of the cross, the story of Palm Sunday and the gospel, he wants to embrace us with his love anew, even now. And as Natalie sings this song, I just pray, in fact, we pray right now, Holy Spirit, would you come and bring your love afresh and new to heal us, to renew us, to refresh us, and to bring new life to people, salvation to people even this day. In Jesus' name we pray.
Your love is life and breath and peace. Your love brings hope and grace to me. Your love, your never-ending love. It's pure and kind and powerful. It heals, restores, and covers me. Your love, your never-ending love.
thousand years from now we'll sing about his love. Oh, a thousand years from now before his throne. Oh, we'll sing about his love and his mercy for us. Oh, his love, his love, his love. Oh, your love, your love, your love. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. One more time, everybody sing. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul.
Well, thank you so much to Tommy and the team for leading us today. Would you guys join me as we pray? God, thank you so much for who you are, and thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for the many good gifts and blessings that you have put in our lives, and thank you for the gift of this weekend worship service with Christian Assembly Church. I pray that you would speak to us and encourage us and strengthen us throughout this service. God, we also want to pray for what has happened in Boulder, Colorado this past week, and God, we just pray for your peace and your healing and your hope for that city, God. And we also pray, especially, Lord, for the friends and the family of those who were shot and killed in that shooting at the grocery store. God, we pray for the friends and family of the police officer that was killed and the grocery store staff that were killed and the others, Lord, who were killed in that tragic shooting. And we just pray your peace and your hope and your comfort for them, God. Lord, we love you and we trust you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, welcome everyone, and I'm glad you're with us today. A special welcome to any guests and visitors that are joining us. Easter weekend is next week. We will have our Easter service on Saturday, April 3rd at 5 p.m., both outdoors at Village Christian and online. We encourage you to invite your friends and family to join us. You can check our social media for posts and invitations to share digitally. Kids Church is having a special Easter program online as well, and that will be available at the same day and time. Also, an important note for our outdoor service at Village Christian School. Starting the week after Easter, we will move our outdoor service from Saturdays to Sundays at 10:30 a.m. So we're excited to have a Sunday morning service in the beautiful outdoors. Mark your calendars for Sunday, April 11th at 10:30 a.m. if you plan to attend outdoors. That's in 2 weeks. You can refer to our website and app if needed. Our online service will still be posted on Saturdays at 5 p.m. We encourage you to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or our website by clicking on the Give tab, and we want to say thank you so much for your ongoing generosity. It's Palm Sunday weekend, and we will be taking communion later in the service. Let's continue in our worship as we hear the teaching for today from Matt.
Well, thank you, Jill, and to my church family. And to all who are joining us, I'm so glad to have this time with you today. We come to Palm Sunday this weekend, which begins the week leading up to Easter Sunday, which is next weekend. And I want to invite all of you to participate with us this Friday in an experience that we have put together. We wanted some way to experience Good Friday together. And so we have put together a plan, a guide for you to follow either by yourself or with your family or a life group to follow along in a Good Friday guide of prayer and reflection, along with a video that we have made that will be on our website and on social media as well. And so I want to encourage you and invite you to join us for that on Friday. Palm Sunday. This is the day we remember when Jesus very deliberately turned his attention to Jerusalem, knowing very well that when he arrived in that city, he was arriving in a death trap. The gospel writers tell us that Jesus, when he came to Jerusalem, he rode into town on a little donkey with crowds cheering around him. And it looks very much like a shining moment for Jesus. It looks like he is a celebrity on Palm Sunday. People are singing his praises. They're shouting, Hosanna, which is a word that identified that he was the Savior they were waiting for. People are waving palm branches as a way of receiving Jesus as their king. But behind all of the fanfare, underneath all of that, Jesus is aware that behind the scenes, his enemies are conspiring against him. The same voices shouting Hosanna on Palm Sunday, they're going to be the same voices shouting Crucify Him on Good Friday. Jesus, by the end of the week, will be a dead man, and he knows this. It's only a matter of a short time before Jesus is betrayed, arrested, abandoned by his disciples, brought to trial on false charges. It falls to the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, to decide what to do with Jesus. And that's where I want us to pick up the story in John's gospel, and the verses will be on the screen. Beginning in chapter 18, verse 33, John tells us, Pilate went back into his headquarters and called for Jesus to be brought to him. Are you the king of the Jews? Pilate asked him. Jesus replied, Is this your own question, or did others tell you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate retorted. Your own people and their leading priests brought you to me for trial. Why? What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world. Pilate said, So you are a king? And Jesus responds, You say I am a king. I actually was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. We're going to talk about truth today. All who love the truth, Jesus says, recognize that what I say is true. And Pilate's response, what is truth? Great question. Then he went out again to the people, and Pilate told them, he's not guilty, talking about Jesus, not guilty of any crime. Now let me set up this whole scene and this discussion about truth. We're after truth today. Pilate doesn't know what's going on here. Pilate's just shown up and has no idea what he has become a part of in this scene. What is truth? He asks. It's human. It's human to be truth challenged. It's true of all of us. We are truth seekers, But we are not truth makers, and sometimes we are not truth tellers. But we are truth seekers. And truth, as you know, sometimes is really hard to find. In fact, if I sum up the headlines of the past 12 months that we've lived through together, I think we could agree that truth is hard to find. Our greatest minds in areas of science and education and government and economics, you name it, they all make truth claims that seem to get updated as we go along. And so what is said to be true today has to be edited tomorrow. Just once, I'd like someone to stand before the news cameras and say something like, you know, we really don't know the answer to all of your pressing questions. We really don't know what to expect. We think we have a pretty good idea of what might help, and we'd like to try that, but we'll have to keep you posted. I think it would be refreshing to hear that from someone, because the truth about us is that we are truth challenged. For instance, even when we discover truth, we don't always want to accept the truth we find. Sometimes, and especially when I don't like the truth about myself, I want to paint over truth. Oh, I'm not really that way. I'm not really that impatient. I'm not really that bitter. I'm not really that selfish. Oh, when I said that, I didn't mean what you heard me say. Or how about this one? I can stop when I want to. I don't really have a problem. It can be painful to accept or to admit truth about ourselves. We'd prefer to hide, to deny truth, to somehow pretend or to paint over truth. Truth requires me to live with my eyes wide open to all my faults and sins and guilt and shame. Pilate's question is an important question for all of us to ask. What is truth? Well, Jesus had a lot to say about truth. He wasn't truth challenged the way we are. Jesus, in fact, he's always somehow always sees through the veneer. He always is able to discover beyond the noise and get to the real truth, to reveal what is true. He talked about it even before he arrived in Jerusalem that day. If you go back in John's gospel to chapter 8, we read this beginning in verse 28. Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, he's describing crucifixion when one is lifted up on a cross. When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am, and I do nothing on my own. But I say the things as the Father instructed me, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. God the Son, Jesus, is talking about God the Father. As Jesus said these things, verse 30, many came to believe in him. And so Jesus was saying to those who believed him, listen, if you continue in my word, he says, then you are truly my disciples. Verse 32, here's our word. You will know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth will set you free. He's talking about truth. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants, Jesus, and we've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Now listen to this. If you know anything about the Hebrew people in their history, you probably know they were enslaved in Egypt before God sent Moses to lead them to freedom. And so these people Jesus is talking to, they're truth challenged too. And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Now the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you really will be free." Jesus, the Son of God, is talking about truth that will set you free. And here's what he said. He said, you're going to know this truth. You're going to see this truth. It's going to become evident to you when the Son of Man is lifted up, when he is crucified on the cross, when he is lifted up onto that cross. There is truth in the cross. There is truth in the cross, and it is truth that sets us free. Jesus is always bringing up truth, uncovering truth, offering truth, confronting us with truth. And so Jesus wants us to know, when you see what takes place on the cross, you'll be looking at truth. The truth of the cross will set you free for the life that you were made to live with God. And so I want to talk about the truth of the cross. Three ways the cross reveals truth that'll set us free. Here's truth number one. The cross reveals the truth about our problem of sin. The cross reveals the truth about what traps us and keeps us from life as we were made to live. What is it that robs us from living freely in life with God? The Bible's answer is this. It's called sin. Now, sin is not something we really like to talk about. It's offensive. It's not polite. It sounds judgmental. It sounds outdated. But I want to suggest to you, for all of us, that sin is actually a very useful word. Sin describes what's really going on in the human condition. Think about this. I'm not talking about a judgmental attack on anyone. I'm talking about a very useful diagnosis of the human condition, mine and yours. I'm talking about what's true of me and true of you and true of every other living person. Sin is real. The Bible says it's more than heinous acts of hatred or obvious acts of evil. Sin is, it's not a descending scale from bad to worse. Sin is a condition of the human soul. The Bible diagnoses sin as refusing life with God by disregarding God's word and choosing instead to follow a different course apart from God. That's what sin is. Sin is living outside of the boundaries God laid down for us. And here's what's true about sin. Outside those boundaries that God laid for us, our sins lead to physical, emotional, and spiritual peril. Separation from God, and ultimately, sin leads to death. The symptoms of sin in the human soul are things we all know, things like shame and guilt, bitterness, emptiness, chaos, and oppression. Not one of us Not one of us has lived a life free of those symptoms, because not one of us has lived a life free from sin. And if not dealt with, our sins enslave us. The truth about sin is that it is painful, shameful, ugly, and deadly. And if you are at all doubtful of that, Jesus says, here's the truth revealed. Look at the cross. The cross reveals the truth about sin. Listen to how Mark, in his gospel, describes the scene of the cross. Chapter 15, beginning in verse 15, Pilate ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. The soldiers took Jesus into the courtyard of the governor's headquarters and called out the entire regiment. They dressed him in a purple robe and they wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. Then they saluted him and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him on the head with a reed stick, spit on him, and dropped to their knees in mock worship. When they were finally tired of mocking him, wasn't worth it anymore to them, they took off that purple robe, they put his own clothes on him again, and they led him away to be crucified. Then the soldiers nailed him to the cross. They divided his clothes and threw dice to decide who would get each piece. Verse 31 says, the leading priests and teachers of religious law also mocked Jesus, saying, he saved others, but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down from the cross so we can see it and believe him. Even the men who were crucified with Jesus ridiculed him. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" That's the ache in every human soul that is enslaved by sin and separated from God. In verse 37, Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed his last. What a humiliating scene. What a humiliating demonstration of what sin does to us. Stripped naked, bloodied from the beating, and nails hammered through his wrists and ankles into rough wooden beams, lifted up, hanging from those nails. The cross reveals the truth about our sins. Sin is the painful, ugly, shameful, deadly condition that keeps us from life with God as we were meant to live it. And if not dealt with, sin will pin you down and enslave you to shame and rob you of life as God desired and designed for you. The first truth of the cross is the painful truth about my sin and yours. And without recognizing that truth, you'll never be free. Here's truth number two. Truth number two from the cross. On the cross, Jesus demonstrated the truth about God's love for every one of us. If the first truth was about the destruction, the deadly nature of sin, the second truth from the cross is about God's love for every one of us. Why did Jesus, the innocent, sinless Son of God, let the cross happen to him? Even Pilate, John told us, rendered a judgment of not guilty. He knew Jesus was innocent. Why did Jesus subject himself to the pain and shame of the cross? The answer the Bible gives is the most famous verse in the Bible. John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Here's what that means. It means God is Father, Son, and Spirit, three in one. The Father and Son and Spirit act in perfect harmony together to reveal God's love for us. That's part of the truth, Jesus said, would be evident on the cross. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Jesus, the Son, demonstrating the Father's love by laying down His life for us. Jesus gave up His life so that we might have life with God. He takes our guilt so that we might have His innocence. Our sin for His perfect record. Our broken separation from God for His unbroken relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's the truth of God's love shown on the cross. On the cross, Jesus absorbed all the guilt of every sin. Every act ever committed in the light of day or the dark of night, all transgressions and small offenses, every malicious act, all that you have done, all that I have done, all that the best and the worst of us has done. Jesus took it all, anything that would separate us from a life free in God's love. Anything that holds us back from life with God. The Son of God took our sin as if it was all His sin, so sinners like us could receive all the love that God offers His children. The cross reveals the truth about God's love for you and me. His love is a forgiving, way-making, freedom-winning love for shame-scarred, life-robbed sinners. On the cross, Jesus reveals the truth about God's love for every one of us. And it's a whatever it takes for whosoever believes kind of love. That's the second truth of the cross. And this is the third, one more, third truth of the cross. What happened at the cross went all exactly according to God's plan. It was all according to His plan. Long before the cross, the gospel tells us about how, or tells us that Jesus talked about how He was going to die. In fact, very often, sometimes the disciples would say, Jesus, stop talking about that. But Jesus would often talk about how He was going to die. In fact, Jesus mentions it again on the day that He arrived in Jerusalem. On Palm Sunday, John tells us that Jesus said, "Now my soul is deeply troubled." All the cheerings going on, all the palm branches being waved, and Jesus is, He's getting to the truth. My soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? He knows what's coming. He's seen God's plan. He knows the cross is coming. But this is the very reason I came, Jesus said. Verse 28, Father, bring glory to your name. And then look at verse 32. And when I'm lifted up from the earth, I'll draw everyone to myself. He said this to indicate how he's going to die. The cross was no accident. Jesus already knew. This is the very reason he came. This all happened according to God's plan to rescue the world from sin. Being the Son of God, Jesus moved in perfect step with his Father, and this has been God's plan from before the world was ever made. That means before time and space, in the distance of eternity, that God only knows. God had a plan to rescue you and me with his love. It's hard for me to wrap my head around that, but think with me about this. God is outside time and space. God created time and space. We cannot fully comprehend it, but God is everlasting without beginning or end, and in eternity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit had a plan to rescue you and me with his love. And in that plan, God saw it all. He saw the cross, and he saw beyond the cross. He saw you and me. You have to get this. Before God said, "Let there be light," he saw you. And he knew all that he would forgive. And he knew all that you and I would need to be set free from on that cross. He knew it all before it began. There's an old song I heard years ago written by Muriel Ewing. And I love the words of this song. Just listen and imagine the scene. This song describes. On a balcony of space, it says, stepped a pure and holy God, and in awesome solitude he stood alone. Not one faint star to give him light, just endless, rolling, blackest night. But somehow, through all the darkness, he could see. The song is describing God in eternity past, before creation. And somehow he could see out of that eternity all that would be. The song goes on to say, he saw mountains high and lofty. He saw valleys lush and green. He saw babbling brooks, wild flowers grow, even heard a robin sing. But he felt a strange compassion, as close to love as pain can be. Standing out there, in his tomorrows, he saw me. Let that sink in. God saw you before the world began. Looking out from eternity before the world began, he saw it all, and he saw you. Can you imagine God in eternity seeing you? And his plan was you. His plan was you forgiven and you set free in his love. For all eternity, he had your salvation in his hands. Those hands that were pierced, those hands that were not raised against his abusers and did not resist his accusers, by those hands nailed on a cross, he was lifted up and he gave his life for you and me. That's the truth of the cross. That's the truth of our need for a Savior. That's the truth of God's love for us. And that's the truth that Jesus said will set you and me free, free in his love. That's what the cross means. That's what this week leading up to Good Friday means, is that Jesus saw it coming and he let nothing, nothing stop him from securing freedom from sin for you and for me. Free to live in the life God designed for us. Free to live in the love of God. Aren't you grateful? Aren't you grateful for what Jesus has done for us? It's communion weekend, and this table that's set for us is another demonstration of the truth that we're talking about today. It was on his way to the cross that Jesus had a meal with his friends. And on that night, he had some bread and he had a cup, and he took the bread and he said to his friends, he said to those around him, this is my body broken for you. And as often as you eat this bread, remember the truth that's revealed on the cross. Remember the truth revealed in the broken body of Jesus, broken for you, broken for me. And after the bread, Jesus took the cup. And Jesus said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. And as often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me. Remember that what he accomplished on the cross was for you and me a new covenant with God, a new way of knowing God, of life with God, of living our lives freely in the love of God. That is what Jesus has offered us. And before you take the bread and the cup there in your home, wherever you are, I want to pray for us. Would you pray with me? Lord, what can we say? What can we say but, Lord, take us and make us what we cannot make ourselves. Make us free. Make us forgiven, Lord. Make us all that you intended us to be. Thank you. Thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for enduring it. Thank you for disregarding the shame of hanging on that cross so that you could save us, so that you could rescue us, so that you could forgive us and free us of sin. Lord, we receive all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can say, amen, along with me. Listen, if you have put your faith in Jesus, or you want to talk with a pastor about trusting the truth that Jesus has revealed to us about God's love, then visit our website. We would love to meet you, talk with you, pray for you, and encourage you. And to my church family, and to all those who are joining us, God bless you all week long.
I humble myself before the Holy God of heaven. I humble myself before his pure of my sin.
Thank you so much for being with us today online. If you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ at any point during our service or would like to know more about what it means to follow Christ, please let us know so that we can have a pastor follow up with you. You can email us at the address below or go to our webpage listed below as well. Let me close with this benediction. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. See you guys next week.